Well, good evening, and if you have your Bibles at home, turn to the book that you don't hear preached from too often or taught from too often. It's the book of 3 John. Now, if you have your Bible and you begin in the back in Revelation and go backwards, you'll have Revelation and then Jude and then 3 John. 3 John. And we're not going to break the passage down and exegesis on it, but we're going to just go through the whole book tonight and just give some practical things from the book that just looking it over and studying a little bit. I hope it'll be a help for you tonight. But what we're going to do first, as we get started tonight, we're actually going to read the whole book. So beginning in verse 1, it says, "The elder unto the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath a good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I have many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee, and our friends salute thee. Greet thy friends by name." If you notice as we go into this, the emphasis here is emphasizing the word truth. So I'm going to go ahead and pray again, and then we're just going to look at this book tonight. Father, sometimes a little book like this gets kind of glossed over or looked at quickly. But Father, what tremendous truth that you have in this book about truth. And so, Father, help us learn from it tonight. Help me say the things that are needed and be helpful to those listening tonight, Lord. And just ask for your help now. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the book of 3 John was written by the Apostle John. And it was written to a guy named Gaius. You see that in the first verse. They believe that John led Gaius to Christ. And four times in the book, he calls him the beloved or beloved. In verse 1, verse 2, verse 5, and verse 11. And so he really had a love for Gaius. Now, the reason I believe that was so was because Gaius, we're going to see, was a man of truth. He loved the truth. He loved truth. And John loved the truth. And I think he had a special spot in John's heart, not just because John led him to the Lord, but that Gaius loved the truth. And so what we want to encourage you to do tonight, as we go through this and look at several things about this subject, is to think about ourselves. Could I take Gaius' name out and put my name in there? Am I a man? Am I a woman? Am I a young person of truth? Do I love the truth? And is my life built around the truth? And so hopefully there'll be some practical things that'll help you tonight. First off, let's look at verse 1. It says, "The elder unto the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth." Basically, he's saying, Gaius, I love you because you love the truth. You stand in the truth. You sit in the truth. You walk in the truth. And we want to look at real quickly some things that kind of tie into this, all for the New Testament. A couple of them are from John in his book of St. John. But first, if you have your Bible at home, look in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And a couple of truths about truth here. As we think about it, are we people of the truth? Do we love the truth? And the first thing that we see here in John 8, verse 32 is, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, we could explain this verse, and if we want true freedom in our life, we need the truth. How do we know what is true? It says that you may know the truth. Well, God has given us something that helps us know what is true and what is not true. And that is the Word of God. Do you know the Word of God? If you want to know what the truth is and you want to be able to do it, you need the Word of God. God is truth, and God's Word is truth. And so, do we know the truth? Next, look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 is got a couple verses we want to see in it that talk about truth. Ephesians 4, look in verse 25. It says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbors, for we are members one of another." So, first off, we need to know what the truth is. We find that in the Word of God. And then we need to speak the truth. We need to say things that are true. It's emphasized in the same chapter. If you look back in verse 15, it says, "But speaking the truth in love." So, we ought to be people of the truth. We ought to put away lying and speak every man truth. Are you a person that tells the truth? Are we people that maybe half truths or just outright lies? That's always humorous looking at the TV when it's talking about politicians. Both sides of the political aisle accuse the other ones of being liars. I guess it's sad. But as believers in Christ, we need to speak the truth. And we need to be like a Gaius who's determined, "I'm a man of truth, so I'm always going to tell the truth. Whether it's going to help me, whether it might hurt me, it doesn't matter. I am going to tell the truth." We need to speak the truth, and we need to speak the truth in love. I look over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. All your T's are together in your New Testament. So just a few pages over to your right, you'll run into 1 and 2 Thessalonians and then 1 and 2 Timothy. And in 1 Timothy 4, look at verse 3. It says, "Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them." Now notice this, "which believe and know the truth." Now we already talked about the way we know what is true is God's word. But here it says, do we believe it? Do you believe what the Bible says? And sad that there are many people, some who are truly believers, some who claim to be a Christian, and there's a lot of things they don't believe about the Bible. They don't believe God created everything in 6 days. They don't believe that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. They don't believe some of the things that are miracles in the Bible. But not only do we need to know the truth, we need to believe it. Believe what the Bible says. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 1. So if you keep going over to your right, you'll probably see Hebrews and then James and then the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 22, it says this, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit." We'll just stop right there. Another thing we need to do is obey the truth. to obey the truth. How do you obey God's truth? Well, you got to know what it is. That means get into the Word of God, and it is truth. And when God has a commandment or something He wants us to do, we need to obey the truth. We need to obey it. So we need to know it. We need to speak it. We need to believe it. We need to obey it. And let's look at one other verse. Back to the book of John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3. So Gaius was a man who knew the truth. He believed the truth. He spoke the truth, and he obeyed the truth. In John chapter 3, look in verse 21. John 3, verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So the last thing here is we need to do the truth. And you say, well, what does that mean? How do I do the truth? Sounds like some kind of a new dance step. Let's do the truth. You know, woo. What it means is this. It means live for the things that are true. Basically, to do the truth is all the things we just mentioned. To be like a Gaius, a one who was a man of truth, who loved the truth, we need to get into God's Word so we know what's true. We need to believe what God says because it is true. We need to obey what He says. We need to obey the truth. One of the things we can obey is by speaking the truth. And so essentially we need to do the truth. Could I put my name in the place of Gaius? Do I feel that way about truth? And that's what we need to ask ourselves tonight. Now back to 3 John. Back to 3 John. We need to move on and look at verse 2. He says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. The word prosper there, it's not the prosperity gospel. You know, God's going to give you money and health and all that kind of stuff. That's not what it's talking about. Prosper there means to have a pleasant trip or the idea of well-being. I love what this says in the end of the verse. He says, when we were people of truth, that thou may be prosper, even as thy soul prospereth. You know, when we walk in truth, when we do all those things, to know it, to obey it, to speak it, to believe it, when we do that, it says our soul will prosper. Now, again, hold your finger here in 3 John, but back in the Old Testament, in Joshua chapter 1, we see the same word. You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, a passage that's often preached on, but we need to keep emphasizing this first part of the book of Joshua is just tremendous what God says here. In verse 8, Joshua 1, verse 8, said, This book of the law, what's that talking about? Well, it's talking about God's word, which is truth. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now notice this part. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And our soul will prosper. Again, back to 3 John now. When we are about the truth, and the truth is important to us, we want to know what it is, and we want to obey it. And we want to speak it as we deal with other people. And we believe what it says. It says our soul will prosper. What does that mean? Well, remember, prosper has the idea of a pleasant trip. So if we want to have a pleasant trip in this life, on this earth, if we want things to go well, we need to be people of the truth. Now think about that. You want things to go well. What this means is we can have a good trip during this life. In other words, life is a blessing and it's pleasant and it's peaceful to our soul. You know, if we're people of the truth, it says we'll have a pleasant trip in this life and things will go well. It'll be a pleasant trip if things are going well for you physically or if they're not going well physically, whether things are going good for you financially or they're not going good, whether you have a job or not have a job, whether you have difficult neighbors or don't have difficult neighbors, whatever trouble you might have, even in the midst of that, if we'll be people of the truth, God will give us a pleasant trip in this life. And life will be a blessing. And things will go well with our soul. And what a truth that is. So Gaius, his soul, it said, prospered because he was a person of the truth. Now, again, back into 3 John here, let's look at verse 3 and 4. It says, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth." Let me ask a question. You know, we're saying put your name in Gaius's place. Does the truth make you rejoice? Do you get excited about the truth? You know, we're going to kind of reopen church, and that's an exciting time. You know why we should be excited? Because pastor's commitment and the staff's commitment here is to share in truth God's word, what it says. And that's truth. That ought to get us excited. Instead of dwelling on the lies of the world, like watching too much TV and TV news, which will probably make you depressed or discouraged, we need to get back to the Word of God and rejoice in the truth. Rejoice in the truth. Let me ask you a question. Like a lot of things you see on TV, can you really have confidence that they're true or completely true? Or maybe they're part true and part made up? And that can become frustrating and discouraging. Listen, you cannot be, God's Word is not going to discourage you because it is truth. Let's rejoice in the truth. Do we rejoice in the truth? Do we rejoice about brethren who walk in truth? Do we rejoice about brethren who walk in truth? If you want, you can go ahead and turn there. If you want to hold your finger in 3 John and turn to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings, all these books with numbers in the Old Testament, 1 and 2 Samuel, and then you have 1 and 2 Kings. And we're looking in 1 Kings, and we're looking in chapter 19, 1 Kings 19. And you're familiar with the story of Elijah. Elijah had kind of confronted King Ahab and said it wasn't going to rain. And then he came and showed himself to King Ahab, and there was a big challenge. And who's going to call fire down from heaven? And so the prophets of Baal did it. Nothing happened. And Elijah called on God, and God sent fire down and consumed the altar and the water around the altar and sacrifice on the altar. And it was a great victory for God's people. But then after that, Jezebel said, "I'm going to get you, Elijah." And Elijah went and hid, and he was scared. And this is what he said in verse 10. It says, "And he said, I've been very jealous of the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant and thrown down thine altars and slayed thy prophets with a sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." You know what happened to Elijah? He became very depressed and very sad. Why? Because he listened to lies. And he convinced himself that Jezebel could do what she said, which was a lie. If God was going to preserve him, and he preserved him greatly already. He could see that in his life, but he convinced it was a lie. And he was sure that there was nobody else but him that wanted to do right. Well, if you look down in verse 18, this is what God tells him. He says, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." And so the point is, we ought to be excited that there are other people that believe the truth. You're not the only person that says, I want to believe the truth. I want to do the truth. There are other people. And we convince ourselves many times that we're kind of all alone in this world, and that's not true. And we get excited about the fact that there are Christian brothers and Christian sisters that love the truth. And we ought to rejoice in that fact. In fact, there's something he says very specifically if you turn back to 3 John in verse 4, where he says, I have no greater joy than hear my children walk in truth. His children, I think mainly we're talking about people he led to the Lord, but also people he just taught the Word of God to. And he said, there's nothing that thrills my soul more than to know that people I led to Christ, people that I've taught the Word of God, are walking in truth. They're like Gaius. And I don't want to speak for Pastor, but I know Pastor and the other people on our staff, and I know myself, are so excited to see someone that we've worked with, maybe someone we led to Christ, maybe someone we taught in Sunday school or children's church. It just thrills my soul to see someone. I've seen some that had a part in their life. They're in the full-time Christian ministry. I see some that are faithful in a church somewhere. They're grown up now. By the way, that's scary. When you see someone come to church that you taught in children's church, and now they're like 35 years old with a couple of kids, and you're going, uh-oh, what does that say about me? I'm getting really old. But that should be a great joy to us. That should thrill us. I just know, like Vacation Bible School, you run into people. Maybe they're not always doing what they could, but they're so happy to see you because of the influence you had sharing God's word with them and truth with them. And that should be a great joy to us. Do I rejoice about the truth? Do I rejoice in other people that love the truth? Do I rejoice when I see someone I had a part in their life, they're still faithfully serving the Lord? That was Gaius. And that was John. John was just thrilled. He just rejoiced. He's going to mention another guy later on here in this book, that they were men of truth and that they're walking in the truth. And that was a great joy to him. Now, let's look at verse 5. Back in 3 John, verse 5. Verse 5 for verse 8. I call this my responsibility in missions. My responsibility in missions. Missions can be a lot of things, but essentially where people going out sharing the truth. First of all, the gospel, and then the word of God. And what's my responsibility in this area of missions? Well, in verse 5, we see the first thing, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to brethren and to strangers. So the first thing is we need to be faithful. In this area of missions and getting out the truth, we need to be faithful. Faithful. What does that mean? Well, simply, it can mean a number of things, but here's what I want to emphasize to you tonight. Whatever you said you will do, do it. Whatever you said you'll do, do it. If someone's going out, whether they're a home mission or mission in the United States or a foreign mission, if you tell them you're going to pray for them, pray for them. Whatever you said you do, do it. Be faithful. And sometimes that's something you got to work at as we get busy. So if you say you're going to pray for somebody, I would take one of their prayer cards or a card with their picture on it and stick it where you can see it and remember to pray for them on a regular basis. If you told them, if you committed to the church to give money to missions, whatever you said you do, do it. Be faithful. And that's the first responsibility. Then in verse 6, it says, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. So the second thing is be helpful. First, be faithful, do what you said you're going to do, and then be helpful. Be helpful. Well, and there's a lot of ways to be helpful. Maybe a missionary needs a place to stay, lodging, or maybe you can help with food, or maybe with money. And whatever it might be helpful. Maybe there's something specifically they need that you have an expertise in, and you can, through correspondence, help them with that. Whatever, be helpful to the people getting out the truth. So be faithful, and be helpful. Then there's a third thing we can do, and that's found in verse 7, because that for his name's sake they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. The third thing we ought to do is be aware. We need to be aware that the support comes from you. You realize that? A lot of missionaries, and the way things are, many of these countries they go to, they won't let them work per se there. in many places. And so the only way they're able to go and be able to live and support themselves and their family is because they have churches and individuals that help them financially. And so be aware that their support comes through you. So be faithful in this area of missions. Do what you say you're going to do. Be helpful and whatever it takes. By the way, just one more thing about being helpful. It says in verse 6, when we do that, thou shalt do well, it says at the end of the verse. Thou shalt do well. You know, we always say we want to hear God say, well done. When we get to heaven one day, well done, my faithful servant. So one way to get a well done from God is to be helpful. So be faithful, be helpful, be aware. And lastly, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible that you never hear a lot about. For some reason, I really love this verse. It's verse 8. It says, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. So the last one is be involved. Be involved. Be faithful. Be helpful. Be aware. But be involved. Become involved yourself. To be, it's called, says it, a fellow helper to the truth. There's people going out to give the truth. You might not be able to go out like that, but you can help them. It's a disappointment to my soul that we've had to postpone our vacation Bible school. And it's such an impact in our community and young people's lives and in their parents' lives. But one of the things that makes me sad to miss is so exciting to see so many people working and helping. Many of them are being, what are they being? Not everybody could be up teaching a lesson or leading the singing, but they can help so we can get the truth out. And they're fellow helpers. And many times, our vacation Bible school, we'll have 100 people working, 90, 100, just a bunch. And they're all doing different things. Some might be sweeping the floor. Some might be emptying the trash. Some might be handing out cookies. Some might be leading children through the line. And it doesn't seem like much, but you know what they are? And that what thrills God is that they're being a fellow helper to the truth. And so we need to be involved and help when we can. We need a church full of fellow helpers. That's what makes why we call it the body of Christ. Everybody has a part. Every part of the body is important. And we can help. Listen, pastor needs your help. He can't do everything. And so we have all kinds of people doing all. He can't teach every Sunday school class. He can't visit everybody in the church. It's just too many things to do. So he needs fellow helpers. I believe Gaius was a fellow helper to the truth. He helped John get out the truth. Are you a fellow helper? You say, I don't know if I could do that. There's something you could do. Like, for instance, you could pray. Praying for missions, and as we're talking about this, is something you can do. Maybe you can never go. Maybe you don't have much to give. That, you know, it seems like it would have an impact. But you can pray. Be a fellow helper by praying, supporting, giving. Maybe not just give financially, but you could give some of your time. Maybe you have, again, an expertise or a talent that could be a help to the missionary. Be a fellow helper to the truth. Maybe go yourself. Say, I can't go all the time. Well, go on short-term trips. There's all kinds of short-term mission trips that you could go on. And be a fellow helper. And, you know, our last trip that we took, which was Trinidad, people were doing all kinds of little things. Not everybody was a teacher. Some helped when we played games. Some helped in the crafts. And let me tell you, it wasn't easy in the crafts. You say, oh, crafts, that's easy. Man, it was 9,000 degrees in that room where we were doing crafts. But people did it because they were being fellow helpers. Are you a fellow helper to the truth? So verses 5 through 8 talk about, again, our responsibility to missions. Be faithful, be helpful, and be involved. Now, we're going to turn to a little more negative thing now. We see in verse 9 somebody named Diotrephes. It says in verse 9, it's he loveth to have the preeminence among them, and receiveth us not. In other words, he didn't want anything to do with John. If John was coming, basically he didn't want him to even come to the church. He cast him out of the church. And the word preeminence has the idea of love first place. He loves to be first. You know, God loves those that love the truth and speak the truth and believe the truth and just basically do the truth. But he resists those that want to have the preeminence. Preeminence, my needs first, my desires first, my plans first. If that's your attitude in life, you are a Diotrephes. I'd rather be a Gaius. If you always got to have your way, say, that's just the way I am. Well, you're a Diotrephes. And the truth of the matter is, in fact, if you would hold your place here in 3 John, look in Mark 10. Mark 10, that's in your New Testament. Matthew, Mark, second book of your New Testament. Mark 10. Again, something that's a very familiar. Mark 10, if I could get there. I thought I was there and I realized I was in Luke. Mark 10, in verse 42, it says, "But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them." And so he's saying that in the world, there's some that are the bosses and they really let people know it. Hey, I'm number one. You do what I say. But he says, for those that know Christ, in verse 43, it says, "But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many." So glad that Jesus gave his life for me. He came and humbled himself. For he certainly had the authority. He was God in the flesh to say, "Everybody, do what I say. My way or the highway." But he humbled himself because he came to die for you and me. It made salvation possible. Without Christ coming to do what he did, we have no hope for heaven. There's no amount of good deeds or good works we could do to get ourselves to heaven. Christ came and did what we could not do, and that's pay for sin. So if you're listening and you've never put your faith in Christ, saying, I can't save myself, I'm trusting Christ to save me and give me eternal life. I believe he died for me. I believe he rose from the dead, and I'm trusting him as my only hope for heaven. And I encourage you to do that if you've never done it. But Christ was an example of the fact that he wasn't a Diotrephes. He's saying, listen, you don't seek to have the preeminence. If you want to be great in God's eyes and truly successful in God's eyes, and if you want it to be well with thee, and you want your way to prosper, that your path through life might be peaceful in your heart, then you need to be a servant. Diotrephes loved first place. And by the way, he wasn't a fellow helper to the truth. But he resisted the truth. If he resisted John, who came to speak and teach the truth, he wasn't being a fellow helper. He was being someone who resisted or refused to help the truth. We need to be fellow helpers. We need to love the truth. But that wasn't Diotrephes. Again, look at verse 10. Back to 3 John, and let's look at verse 10. It says, "Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating." Now, prating means false accusations. That's basically what it means. False accusations against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. That's a big mouthful. Basically, this is the idea of verse 10. God will not forget how we felt about the truth. God will not forget how we felt about the truth. And there's a famous sermon called Payday Someday. And basically, Diotrephes ought to think about verse 10 where it says, "When I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth." The Apostle John, who was an apostle, he had authority in the sense of the spiritual well-being of people. He said, I'll remember, and God will remember too. But what's great is God will remember when we love the truth. When we stand for the truth, when we walk in it, when we believe it. God doesn't miss that. And you know what? It thrilled the Apostle John that Gaius was that way. He said, I had no greater joy. And I believe there's no greater joy in God's heart, a God of truth, when we love the truth, when we do the truth, when we stand for the truth, when we speak the truth, when we know the truth, when we obey it. God doesn't miss that. And it's payday someday. God's going to honor that. And by the way, when we love the truth, since God knows that, why does he do it? He makes our soul to prosper. He makes us have a pleasant trip on this earth, that things will go well with us, no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in. And so, God knows my deeds. And then back in 3 John, look in verse 11. Verse 11. In verse 11, it says, Beloved, again he's calling Gaius the beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. And so the question to ask ourselves is, who or what am I following? Who or what am I following? He says, follow not that which is evil. I think he's equating that with what is not true. I'm following, don't follow someone or don't follow a philosophy that's contrary to the Bible. That's because that is following falsehood. That's following lies. God wants us to follow and believe the truth. It says, follow that which is good, follow what is true. He that doeth good, who follows truth, is of God. And so what that means is that when we follow truth, we're acting like God's child. That doesn't make us God's child, but we're acting like God's child should act. We're having a good testimony, and the name of Christ is given credit and praise when we're people of the truth. Now, sometimes people speak the truth, they don't speak it in love. I'm going to say something that's true, but it's still unkind. So when we speak the truth in love, when we believe the truth, when we do it, we obey it, and we know it, when we do all those things, we're acting like God's child. It's been said many times, the only way a lot of people who never go to a church or never have a Bible to open and read, or nobody tell it to them, the only way they're going to know what God is like is they see what we're like. And one thing we want to let the world know is that you can trust God. He is a God of truth. What he says, you can count on. And so when we follow the truth, we're acting like we're a child of God. But when it says he that doeth evil have not seen God, doesn't mean they weren't saved. You're not saved when you reject Christ. But I think we're well aware of this, that many times, and probably we've fallen prey to this, where we haven't been people of the truth like we should be. We're not acting like we're God's child. We're a bad testimony. When we lie and don't tell the truth, is that giving the lost world, who maybe never would darken the door of a church, never have a Bible, would they get an idea what God's like and how we're living? So who or what am I following? That's what verse 11 challenges us to do. We're almost done tonight. We only have a few more verses. Go for a whole book. Pastor could not do that. It's impossible. He could not do a whole book in one night. And yet we've done it tonight with God's help. Look at verse 12. Here it talks about a guy named Demetrius. Verse 12, Demetrius have a good report of all men and of the truth itself. Here's another man like Gaius who was a man of truth. All those things that we keep harping on to do the truth, to speak the truth, to know the truth, to obey the truth. That was the kind of man that Demetrius was, a man of truth. And I like what it says here. It says, yea, and we have bear record and know that our record is true. Because at the first part it says he have a good report. He had a good report. If God gave us a report card for our life, what would it say? Math, 100. History, 95. English, 88. Truth. What grade would God give us? You know what what we should strive for? That we're 100% people of the truth. Not 3/4 of the time, not half the time, not 90% of the time. But we should strive to be truthful all the time. That we might have a testimony of being a child of God. But we might have a pleasant walk through this life. That things might be well with us. And I don't know what you, a good report. Our desire in this area of truth that God said, well done, when we get to heaven. You were a person that lived and did and believed the truth. And so we ought to ask our question, could I put my name here instead of Demetrius or Gaius? Do I live this truth before others? In other words, am I very conscientious that I always want to be about truth and saying what the truth is? And not stretching the truth or not saying all the truth. We might manipulate people or influence people. We need to be people of the truth. And we need to tell them the truth. And again, we need to speak the truth in love. But you can say some things that if we're speaking the truth and we're doing it a loving way, people need to hear it. For instance, if you don't trust Christ as your Savior, respectfully, the best I can tell you is what the Bible says, and you won't go to heaven when you die. Not because you're evil or bad, which we are, but because you rejected God's only way to heaven, which is Jesus Christ. And so we need to live truth before others so we can be a good testimony. But look, this is just important. Do I live the truth when I'm alone? Is truth I try to present myself so I can look good in front of somebody else, but when I'm all alone and nobody else is around, is truth important to me? Do I rejoice in truth? And so that's very convicting. Can you put your name in Gaius' place tonight? To be a man, be a woman of truth, it's so important. And if you want your soul to prosper, and what's good about having a soul that prospers, again, whether things are going well or bad in your life, you can have peace. You can have a pleasant walk through this life. And how important that is. So, do I have a good report? Am I a man of truth? And then in verse 13 and 14 says, I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet thy friends by name. So here he's giving some greetings, and I'm looking forward to seeing you and all that. And I just want to say this. We're excited. I can tell you, the pastor's very excited, and the staff is very excited about being able to see you, being at church again, starting on June 7th. Don't miss it. Please contact church office if you're coming. We want to make sure we're properly planned and what we need to do on that day. But when we get here, this is really cool. It says in verse 14, greet the friends by name. You know what John is promoting here? It's something what we call the 5-minute rule here at our church. I'm looking forward to that. And you should too. When we get back together for church, greet everybody by name. Now, you know, we'll take precautions. I do the elbow handshake. I try to avoid the hugging and giving the holy kiss and all that kind of stuff. Some people, that might scare some people. But we ought to go out of our way. Here's some people coming that love the truth. And I should rejoice in that and be excited about it and go around and, hey, it's good to see you. Whatever your name is. It's good to, I just missed you. And that will encourage people so much. So here in the verse, greet thy friends by name. The 5-minute rule, which I mentioned, is this: instead of coming in and just sitting down, spend some time and go around and just talk to a few people. Just tell them it's good to see them. And that'll especially be true on the 7th, but it ought to be true for us all the time. The 5-minute rule. Again, we encourage you to be careful. Not everybody's going to... A lot of people are excited, but I think a lot of people feel differently about how social contact with people. So again, I wouldn't like run up and hug people or anything like that. Unless they're your own family, that's okay. But let's be excited about seeing everybody. People, it's been a very long time, and watching on video, people are discouraged a little bit. And so let's rejoice that people who love the truth are going to be back together. And make sure we greet everybody by name, as many as we can. Tell them how good it is to see them, how good it is to be back to meet together in this place. So, what about you tonight? Third John. Again, this wasn't a verse-by-verse breakdown all the words, tell you what they mean in the Greek, and do a lot of extra, this happened when, back in our church. These are just some practical things out of 3 John. The practicality of, we ought to be people of the truth. And again, I've said it a number of times, when we are, God says our soul will prosper. And this trip, in other words, as we go through life, will be a pleasant trip. Things will go well with us. And when you hear things go well, it doesn't mean everything will be perfect. You won't hurt at all. There won't be any problems. But even when you're having problems in your heart, in your soul, things will be well. But you know, if you reject the truth, your soul won't prosper. When you start believing the lies of the world and following after those. But we need to know the truth. Get into the Word of God. Know what the Bible says. We need to believe it, what the Bible says. Believe truth. We need to obey the truth. Whatever God says in His Word, which is truth, we need to obey it. And one of the things is to speak the truth. Always tell the truth. Always be honest in your dealings. And basically, that's all summed up by John 3:21. It says, do the truth. Do it means live for things that are true. One other thing we saw tonight is when those are going out to share the truth with the world and the area of missions, we said 4 things you need to do. We need to be faithful. Do what you say you're going to do. Pray for the missionaries, pray for them. So you're going to give to them, give to them. Be helpful. And it might be things that are not monetary that you can help them. Place to stay, some clothes, whatever it might be. Be aware. Don't ever forget, they need our help, our support of the local churches. And the very important thing to do is, important thing here at this ministry too, is be involved. Be a fellow helper to the truth. You know, I hope all y'all could come to church here for the rest of your lives, but many of you might move away, go somewhere. Always go to a truth church that loves the truth, that preaches and teaches the truth, and then be a fellow helper to get out that message. And when you do that, by the way, God does not miss that. He knows how you feel about the truth. And I can tell you, for my sake, I can say this for Pastor, we have no greater joy than to see people at First Baptist, people that we know, that we've had part in our life, that they're walking in the truth. There's no greater joy. And I hope that's your heart's desire. We need to determine that I'm going to be a Demetrius. I'm going to be a Gaius and be a man, a woman, a young person, a child. I'm going to be a person of truth. And I hope that's your heart's desire tonight. And so I'm going to close here with a word of prayer. Thank you for being with us tonight and tuning in. We will, don't forget, we have our regular services Sunday, all live stream, and then again next Wednesday. And then on the 7th, we're going to be here, and we're very excited. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this book, just a little book. But it reminds us about who you are. You are a God of truth, and you delight in the truth. So, Father, help us determine to be like Aggeus, who loved the truth, who lived the truth, who spoke the truth. Help us determine to be that person, realizing when we love the truth like that and we stand for it and we believe it, that our soul will prosper, that we'll have a pleasant trip through this life, that it'll be well with us. And Father, help us be determined to be fellow helpers to the truth. I don't know what I could do. I can just do a little, but I want to help get the truth out to this lost world. And Father, we pray that you would raise up fellow helpers to the truth. Father, help them know how important it is and what you can do for people that are working together to get out the truth. So, Lord, we pray you bless the rest of this evening. Father, we pray for our ministry here that you would help us and protect us. Father, that you would give us wisdom. And Father, we just are thankful that we have the freedom to come and share your word, share truth over the airwaves, that people can hear it. So, Father, please bless all those that are here tonight and that work so hard putting on the live stream. Please give them safety as they travel home, Lord. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.